It's always a privilege to be here because you give us a warm welcome, probably because we are fellow Village missionaries. Pat and I have been with Village Mission since 1960. That was a few years back. And we've served two fields before we retired in 2001. We were in Brennan, Washington for 6 years. We were in Dilley, Oregon for 35 years. And we've been in other Village Mission churches for about 10 years after that, going from one church to another, filling in between pastors. And so we enjoy doing that. I fill in for Pastor Tim Gould, fellow Village missionary at Hillside, not Sunnyside, Hillside. We've been worshiping God in an airplane hangar because the church burned in June 2018. And they're getting ready to build a new church as soon as the Washington County gives us the okay. Construction workers are ready to go. Congregation is anxious to get in the new church. But the pastor's retiring in August. He isn't even going to be able to see the finished product until he comes back from Montana, where they're retiring, to come back and see the new church. And so that's what's going on in our lives. And we're happy to be a part of any Village Missions church because, in general, we are gospel-preaching churches. We believe in the virgin birth of Christ. We believe in the vicarious death of Christ. We believe in the victorious resurrection of Christ. And we believe in his very soon return. The sooner, the better. We're getting older. There are many changes coming about. I'm still trying to get used to these hearing aids. And I've heard things lately I had never heard before, which is, yeah. So be careful what you say about me when I'm somewhere near. No, I've got to have a little fun before I get started with the serious part, because I get really, really nervous when I preach, and I just have to try to shed some of that nervousness. But my message today is you aren't going to hear really anything new. You'll just hear a little Drakeology along the way, and you'll just have to say that's part of the gospel. It better be part of the gospel. And I like to preach from any part of the Bible, but I prefer the day to speak to you from several of Paul's epistles. We've been doing a Bible study in Romans for I don't know how long. We're in chapter 12 now. We meet on Monday nights at our parsonage. We still stay in the parsonage after being there for all those years because my successor grew up in our church, became a Village missionary, and he took over and I left. But we still stay in the parsonage. What a blessing that is. We're so blessed by God. He never stops blessing people who serve him from their heart. You don't have to be a preacher to be blessed. You can be so blessed, as you well know, as being a parishioner. Well, that's a big name, isn't it? We studied a couple, 3 weeks ago from these two verses on Monday night in Romans 12, 1. Apostle Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I guess I'd just like to enlarge upon that today by what it means to be a living sacrifice. The Old Testament talks about the Old Testament sacrifices of animals. They had to be without blemish, without spot, without defect. What a beautiful picture of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who gave himself without spot, without blemish, without defect, the sinless Son of God. And because of the mercies that he has shown to us, he asks us to present our bodies. That's what we did. We're here in body today. I can see quite a few of you there. That's just the cocoon. That's all our bodies are, just kind of a cocoon. One of these days, this body will vanish away and we'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. We know that song. What a hope we have in Christ. And we have that hope. You don't have to be a Village missionary to have that hope. You can just be anyone who turns your heart and life over to Christ, and you can have that hope. Paul the Apostle prayed, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers enables us to be a living sacrifice to God. That means there's some activity involved there. We can present ourselves either as a worshiper, or we can present ourselves in numerous ways out there in the world. We are representing Christ in the world in which we're living today, and I want to tell you, it's becoming more and more of a challenge. I've lived a long time, but I've never seen what we see now in America. There's a divisive spirit out there that is quite obvious. And if all else gets boring, we can talk about coronavirus. I don't want to hear any more about that. I've heard too much about that on the news. I don't think I've got it. If I did, I wouldn't have shown up today. You can be sure of that. I don't want to infect you. I want to reflect on the things of God here today. And Paul says, because we present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, it's acceptable to God. What is acceptable to God? Thing that is acceptable to God is our availability. Think about that. I'm going to talk about the availability and the ability of believers today. You were available to come here and worship today. You chose not to go somewhere else at this hour. You came here. Why did you do that? There are a lot of other places you could have gone. I don't expect to hear back from you now. I didn't ask that for you to shout out, I wish I was somewhere else. No. I'm glad you're here. You had a sense of purpose. I believe it's because your love for Christ said, my goodness, it doesn't take long to go to church, one day a week at least. My mom and dad took me to church several times a week from the time I was in diapers. And all five of us kids came to Christ. All five of us boys became ministers and missionaries. We have three children, and all of our kids are in ministry too. There's something contagious about Christianity, isn't there? Once we grow up in a Christian home, and we hear the truth, and we have the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, the sensible thing to do is to keep following Him. Can you think of a better leader to follow? Let's not talk about leadership today, about political leadership. I don't want to get into that. I want someone that's ruling over all, that has a heart for people, that has a love and mercy and grace and kindness. How easy can it be following somebody that loves us the way he does? Pat follows me because she knows I love her. 61 years, she's still with me. Talk about patience, man. There it is. What a wonderful partner I have. I brag about her wherever I go because she's in the Word of God. She reads the Bible more than I do. I said, honey, you're going to preach the next time. I mean, she reads by the hour. She goes through the Bible twice. We go through the Bible together in a year, but she goes through it again on her own to make sure she got the right thing. Okay. Happy marriage. I presented my body to her back in 1958. She got the whole thing, my body, my soul, my spirit. I'm there. Jesus wants everything in our body. He wants our heart. He wants our mind. He wants it all. He wants our will. He wants us to be available. That's kind of a test. Everybody has their own hobbies. Everybody has their own interests. Everybody has a schedule that they kind of conform to every week. I'm at a stage in my life where I like the routine. I need the routine. I need to memorize the routine because I have memory issues. I have a short-term memory problem. I forget where I put something. I can't find it. I have to laugh to keep from crying sometimes because I think, oh, I'm getting old. I can't remember. I'm glad I remembered to come over here today. It would have been so embarrassing. The amazing thing is that God calls us, isn't it? Isn't that something else? Boy, I tell you, I'm glad God calls people to serve Him. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, talking about Christ here, all about Christ in Ephesians here. He descended, he who descended is also he who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. If a person isn't available, he won't answer the call. Have you ever thought about, I've thought about this a little bit. I've heard some preachers that I wonder, were they really called? I mean, I've heard some false teaching out there. I thought, don't think they were called by Christ or they wouldn't be sharing what they're sharing. They're not giving the gospel. They're giving their own, sometimes a prosperity type gospel. You hear that on TV. I'll tell you what, I don't have to preach that kind of a gospel because God always takes care of my financial needs. We're rich in Christ. I don't have to beg people to give so they can be blessed. No, it isn't your giving in the offering plate that blesses you. It's giving to Christ yourself to be available, body, soul, and spirit. So where we go and what we do for Christ is the sacrifice that we make to Him. Wow. And he called all of these different gifted people for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Whether you're an evangelist giving salvation plan to unbelievers so they can be saved, or whether you're a pastor, or whether you're a teacher in the Christian school or in public school, God calls you for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result of all that, we don't stay as children. We grow up in the faith, it says here. We grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. God has a purpose for calling people. He called the Apostle Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles. You know that probably as well as I do. He calls himself in one place there in Galatians, the least of the apostles. The least of the apostles. Sometimes I think of him as the best of the apostles. Well, I have a reason for that. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, and I am one. Peter and John were Gentiles, or they were apostles to the Jews. So I kind of claim Apostle Paul, and I think Apostle Paul, who wrote about half of the New Testament by the inspiration of God, has things to teach us as Gentiles or Jews. He went into the synagogue and talked to the Jews as well, that they would know their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a humble man. He was a very humble man. He was humble enough to say, in Christ Jesus, He came into the world to save sinners, in whom I am chief. He thought of himself as the worst sinner going. Have you ever had that feeling? I have moments like that. I think back some of the stupid stuff I did as a teenager, and I think, I really didn't get off to a very good start. I'm so glad that God separated me from some of those habits. Those things that bring embarrassment to me now and shame are all forgiven. He's welcomed me into His family. He's cleansed me by His precious blood. He took away that burden and that guilt. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. I don't have to feel guilty about those things that are gone. No, that would be foolish of me to do that. But Paul had murdered people before he got saved and got converted to Christ. That's a pretty tough sin to get over with. But he says, you know, I am less than the least of all the saints. I believe that even Peter would agree with that, who said in his epistle that if we're humble, we will become exalted. But if we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. God knows our heart. We need to be available to Him. The counsel that Paul gave the people in Rome, a church he had never actually attended, he just went to the place and gave out the gospel. He didn't preach to the church in Rome. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you have to think about the do's and don'ts, which we used to be taught as children, don't do that. Do this. Either do this chore or don't do that. I heard some of that growing up, didn't you? That's common language. That's what parents should do, training their children in the way of the Lord. Talks about that in Proverbs a lot, doesn't it? I'm glad God warns us about things not to do, because He knows those will bring eternal damage if we stay with the world and follow the ways that are going in the world today in this age. It'll never take us to heaven. It'll draw us away. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've heard that gospel here. I'm not telling you anything new. Satan uses, he's the god of this age. He uses the worldly stuff to attract us. He uses the flesh to trip us. He uses anything he can to keep us from really being available to follow Christ. He'd like to conform us to his world. Oh, it's so easy to do that because the pressure is on. In this technical age in which we live, even the secret stuff which you think you're keeping secret is being known all around the world now because of all the technology. I think that's pretty scary. We don't have to be scared. We can trust God to protect us. He's our shield. He is everything we need. He will watch over us. If we give our heart to Him and spend time in prayer, worship regularly with fellow believers, and walk in the truth, we will have a real advantage over the enemies that are trying to trip us up. Pat and I work really hard to do that, because at this age, there's no turning back for me, man. I'm on the road. I'm going to stay on this track. It has brought great benefits to me. God answers our prayers. People still get saved every now and then. The Bible study group we lead on Monday nights, they just can't wait to come back. They say, this is the life. We wish all believers would go to Bible studies. An ingredient that goes along with worship is fellowship. That doesn't mean that women can't be in this. It isn't just fellows. It means that men and women, boys and girls, meet together all for the common name of Jesus Christ. We have Him in common. When He lives within each of us and His Spirit abides in us and we abide in Him, Jesus made this promise. You abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. That's my Drakeology translation. You'll find that in John 15. Abide, remain, stay close to Christ. Become available to him. You're already doing that. I want to praise you for that. I want to praise you for something else too. I have an idea that you're being faithful to serve your pastor. He's your leader. Betty wishes he could be here today. But I'm enjoying my opportunity to be here. I like to come every now and then and see you. In 1 Thessalonians, again in Paul's epistle, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, here's a request. This is rather interesting. A thought reminds me now that the Apostle Paul had the authority as the highest ranking spiritually gifted man to command people as Jesus did to do God's will. But he doesn't command people here. He did to the Corinthians because they were so misbehaving. But not to the Thessalonians. They were a kind of a model church. They were a model church because it says when they heard Paul preach, they took it as a word from God, not a word from Paul. I hope you are hearing today from God, not just from Cloyce. If you just hear from Cloyce, you've missed it. I am his representative. I'm his mouthpiece. We request of you. He's just asking you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. Wow. He instructs them and encourages them to do that so that God can be glorified. I'd like to have you turn now to the book of Hebrews. I'm skipping all over here today, and I hope I'm sharing things that can be helpful for you. Talking now about the responsibilities of a pastor. When I was being called into ministry, I don't think I had any idea all that pastoring was involved. I listened to my pastor at home, in the home church, and he's kind of the guy that got me started to get into ministry. He thought I should go to Bible college. I thought, I don't want to do that. It's just the girls from the church that went to Bible college. I don't want to go to Bible college. But I went to Bible college. And lo and behold, my four brothers did too. They followed my lead and went into Bible college too. Four of us were in Village Missions for a while. Two of us stayed for quite a long time. But anyway, that was beside the point. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it follows 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Boy, that puts a real pressure on pastors, because leadership means you're in the spotlight 24/7. Not just Sundays. I wish every pastor could remember that. When we're in the world out there mingling with all kinds of different people, somehow we must let them know we're not part of them. We are part of the body of Christ. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. How do I do that as a pastor? Well, the least I can do is have a smile on my face and look happy. I've had people say, what in the world are you so happy about today for? I said, if you knew what I know, you could be happy as well. And I have a chance to share the gospel, or I have a chance to tell them a joke. I said, I'm living on elk meat every year. Is that okay? Yeah, that's a good one. And I am. I'm not telling a lie. God has been very gracious to me. I've got 30 more days to get my elk for 2020. No, 2019 is my 2019 tag. But I'll get another one in 2020. But God is so kind. I like to have that smile on my face so I can share the gospel with those. When I go to Bi-Mart and see some of the people who used to be in my congregation or friends of mine, they begin to tell me their burdens. And I say, well, why don't we pray? Rather than saying, I'll pray for you and go ahead. And sometimes I forget it. So I say, well, let's stand right here and have a little prayer. We're out of the traffic here. And I do. I pray for them right at Bi-Mart. If I can't do that, I pray for them over the phone. That's part of being a pastor, shepherding the flock. Aren't you glad that God has called pastors to shepherd their people? I hope you really value, I think you do, your pastor guy, good man, good family, great examples, young. How fun to be young. Yeah, still raising family. Wow. Well, in verse 17, here it is. Well, let's start with verse 16. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey the leaders and submit to them. And this is going to be my closing remarks, I think, this verse. Submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Wow. All of us will give an account for our life. You can read it in Romans. You can read it in Corinthians. You can read it all over the Bible. We will stand before the judge of all the earth. Not as to whether we're going to be saved or not. That's all taken care of. But regarding our service, are we getting a reward? Or are we losing reward depending on how faithful service we've been doing? 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. When we're building up the body of Christ, are we using wood, hay, and straw, or gold, silver, and precious stones that will last forever? I'm looking forward to some kind of a reward up there. Just being in heaven is enough reward for me, friend, after being a sinner. But now I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm a servant of the Lord, and I enjoy serving people. The more I serve people, the more they bless me in return. I can't tell you how kind people have been to us. I mean, they surprise us with all kinds of things. Oh, wow. Submit to them. They watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Wow. Isn't it an amazing thing what's involved in ministry? It isn't just preaching. It's listening to sermons. It's processing in your mind, what can I take home from this message today? What one thing can I take home from this message today that will make this coming week even better than the previous week? I don't imagine I gave you anything brand new today, but I hope you're taking something home that will brighten your day, that will encourage you. One of the things that will encourage you is to obey these verses. Pray for us. Keep praying for your pastor, not only for their safety when they travel, but for their comfort when they're going through things like they're going through, and for their future ministry. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience. Wow. It's a great thing to have a good conscience because we know we're on the right track. We aren't sinless, but we are becoming less likely to sin as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, as Peter would say. I sin a lot less now, I think, than I did as a teenager. Oh, I've got such a bad memory. Maybe I should ask my wife, or maybe I should ask my congregations where I preach, how am I doing? We are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And he says, as he loves these people, he says, I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. I'm not begging you to call me back here in a few Sundays. I'm just saying that I hope the Word of God is so much a part of your life that you'll feel starved if you don't stay with it. And you'll feel lonely if you don't stay in fellowship with your fellow believers and Christian friends. You will honor God. You'll please your pastor. You'll have a heart full of joy and peace, because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit who lives and abides within you. God bless you richly. Thank you. Was I supposed to pray? I can do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the sunshine along with the rains. Lord, you know what you're doing up there. We're so grateful that you love us, have saved us, and brought us into fellowship with you and with each other. Bless our return home or wherever we're headed today. Help us to let our light shine so that people will see our good works and then glorify our Father who is in heaven. And we thank you for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.